Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Now, first of all, Veronica Tynan, let's establish your mother is okay at the moment.
Hi, Joe. Good afternoon to you. My mom is very well at the moment. Thank God. Thank God. She's a medical miracle.
And many times has she been in the back of an ambulance, as you say, in the last 6 months?
Since last December up to July the 11th, 42 times.
And what occasioned this, insofar as you can generalise?
Unfortunately, Joe, basically last October, mom's sister passed away suddenly.
Okay.
And a couple of weeks after that, she was admitted to St Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny. We didn't know why until alarm bells started ringing with her cardiologist, and we discovered that she was carrying a very serious heart diagnosis.
Okay.
And mom last December was diagnosed with a leaking valve and irregular heartbeat. So that was December, Joe. We didn't have any experience of this as a family. We didn't know much about it.
Okay.
And effectively, we thought, okay, you know, we'll be home for Christmas. But unfortunately, as a family, we spent Christmas Day and many months in the care of St Luke's Hospital, because every time mom was discharged, she was sooner back in the back of the ambulance. And I can say most of the times, Joe, it happened at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning, the worst hour of the night. And going in the back of an ambulance at 4 o'clock in the morning with paramedics trying hard to save your mum, rushing out the road with the siren on St Luke's Hospital, ringing the senior registrar at 4 o'clock, asking not to clock off duty. Please stay. We have somebody very serious here. It's a moment that doesn't leave your head very quickly. And being hooked to, up to ventilators on every single occasion. And, you know, like, we spent Christmas at the bedside of mum, who was up alive and well at Christmas, but we didn't know what we were facing. And that was followed by an episode of double pneumonia and three episodes of pleural effusion. So quite a frightful time for mom. Today, our mom is our biggest hero that we have in life.
She's a miracle.
Oh, she is a medical miracle, as recently said, Joe, by consultants here in Kilkenny. The biggest miracle that they've ever had. And she's a great fighter.
Isn't that brilliant?
And she came home for the first time, you could say, Joe, really, in May. And her 83rd birthday was on June the 1st.
Okay.
And we had a family celebration in the back garden with a very close family friend, priest, Father Brian Griffin, who was great spiritual food for her in St. Luke's Hospital. He was very important asset to her, and Father Paddy Curie. And we didn't think that we would be celebrating our 83rd birthday on June the 1st. And then, unfortunately, a couple of weeks after that, we're back in the back of an ambulance again at 3 o'clock at night. And all the fears come back to your head. And when you're rushing through the doors of emergency in St. Luke's Hospital, in something as serious as this, and you see how hard consultants, nurses and care staff, how they work to save a human life, 83, and you're faced with the virus of the pandemic that we were hit with in February, and you're standing outside the window of St. Luke's Hospital trying to speak to your mum on the phone. You cannot get in at that stage because of the virus. And it really strikes home as how deadly this virus is to those who are very vulnerable. My mom, all her life, Joe, and myself, I would have been an active practicing Catholic up to last December. So,
which brings us I came at it a different way when I saw your mother in an ambulance once every 4 days, nearly in 6 months, which is incredible.
Yeah, pretty much, Joe.
What's her first name, Veronica?
Eileen Tynan,
okay.
Yes.
Eileen. Well done, Eileen. You're still with us and will be for a long time. But what you rang in about was about the Mass, and you want Mass to be said outdoors, is that it?
Look, Joe, yeah, I worked for 20 years in the tourism industry, okay? And luckily, we've been in lockdown because I've had time to care for my mum, okay? So it's been a great blessing, okay, from my end. But I think, like ourselves in tourism, we have to now make changes going forward, because I feel the Catholic Church is suffering, okay? And what I'm proposing is that they perhaps should look, because of the aging population of the priests in Ireland, who are in a very vulnerable category as well, like my mom, okay? There's very few young priests left in Ireland, Joe. But that perhaps, unfortunately, the Catholic Church is going to have to make sacrifices like us all, and look at maybe from Patrick's Day up to the end of September of next year, of moving Mass outdoor into grounds, like our church in Kilkenny is St. John's Catholic Church. And there's fabulous grounds in St. John's Church that would be sufficient to have Mass outdoors.
Yeah, but the campaign by the archbishops at the minute, by the church at the minute, is to to have to allow either 20, in the big churches especially, either 25 or 50 people in to Mass. But under level three, it's gone. Mass is gone.
Joe, can I say this to you? Okay. Yeah. Can I say this to you? This virus, once it comes indoors to more than 15 people, it's absolutely deadly. Absolutely deadly. Mm. Would any of us, or any priest, or any bishop in Ireland, like to see a human life lost because of having
No, of course. No, they're meeting this afternoon. But I think what they're saying is some of the big churches built, especially in Dublin by John Charles McQuaid, would hold, 1,400 people?
Sure, yeah, John.
They're like aircraft hangars.
Yeah, Joe, our church in Kilkenny, St. John's,
you're saying the problem is indoors.
Oh, the problem for this virus, Joe, is definitely indoors. And also, just appreciate, Joe, you know, when you're indoors in a church, it's a social gathering, okay?
Okay.
And the natural thing to do after Mass on a Sunday, especially, is when you see people for the first time, you'll mingle and you'll gather at the porch, okay?
Yeah.
Which is also indoors, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're outdoors, okay, the virus does not stick like mud. It does not stick like mud. And, like, I suppose because of my mom's medical situation, I know an awful lot of medical facts I didn't know a year ago, okay? My mom has not been attending Mass, or myself, since last December. And we won't be, unfortunately. As much as we would like to go back to Mass tomorrow, we would love to go back to Mass tomorrow, and we can't. I would love to say there's hope, Joe, that perhaps, you know, we're going into a situation of hope come next spring with the vaccine. But the reality of the vaccine, Joe, and this is why I'm proposing this to the Catholic Church, the reality of the vaccine is, even if it does become available, say, next April, May, okay?
Yeah.
That's not going to hit the arms of many vulnerable people, probably until September.
I know.
If we're lucky, Joe, right? If we're lucky. And even if half the vulnerable population has this vaccine injected into them, it's not going to work unless the other half of the population has it as well. So we're looking at a lengthy period. And I think we need to be honest to ourselves and say, look, we need to be all personally responsible here.
Okay,
how can we make changes?
But even just to go back, see, like a lot of people, I heard them on Morning Ground saying, well, the church is, the Mass is online, but I suspect the vast majority, not everybody, obviously, but a lot of older people, either because they're not used to it or they can't get good signal, have not got access online to seeing Mass. But anyway, you're against reopening in the short term.
In the short term.
Okay, stay there, Veronica. Yeah. Maura Deely, Maura, sorry for holding you. Maura, Mass, yes or no? Should the churches reopen where there's enough space?
I don't have a problem with the churches reopening if they have the space. But the issue that I have really is that there's been no scrutiny of what happens at Mass and how it fits with the COVID rules. I'm talking about Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
I was appalled when I went back to Mass after the lock-up to see that the priests were giving out Holy Communion. And, like, if you look at it from the rules that we now are supposed to operate under, we were lining up. There was no marshal. So people don't keep their distance when there isn't a marshal. And then you go up, you take off your mask, you take the host. Priest hands you the host and you put the host into your mouth. I found that whole thing distasteful in the times we're in.
Given the Eucharist is such a central part of that sacrament, well, the Eucharist is a sacrament, but central part of the Mass, was there any other way of, like, could the Eucharist be laid out? I don't know what the process and the teaching on it is. Could the Eucharist be laid out and I would pick up one individually off a nicely linen table or whatever? Is there any way around it?
I don't know. I haven't seen it now. I've been in a couple of different churches. One I was in, the priest had a tweezers and he was picking up the host with the tweezers and putting it into the hands of the communicants. But I suppose it's the whole face to face. Your mask is off. You're close in the line, you know, and the handling. And if there was a super spreader, like super spreaders to spread the virus like lightning. And I think, I suppose, for me, I think there has been no debate about this. I think the church has got off lightly because the debate has centred around the numbers. And there's been no scrutiny of the actual process. I haven't heard anything about this at all. And if, you know, we go with the line that they're looking to increase the numbers in the church because they
they're simply looking to allow Mass be said again in a church.
Yeah, but they have also been allowing for higher numbers depending on the size of the churches. Up until now, that has been the case.
I heard Michael Kelly for the Irish Catholic. He pointed out, he said, that Ireland is the only country in Europe at the minute that has Mass is not allowed indoors, or outdoors for that matter, but indoors. Paul Markham is in Clare. Paul, reopened the churches for Mass, yes or no?
Yes, certainly, they should be reopened. It's never more important at this time to have Mass and prayer during this pandemic. Ireland, we need prayer and Mass. It will help get rid of the COVID-19. This country has slided so much in faith. We've brought in the abortion, and now there's probably going to be a referendum on euthanasia. This government are completely anti-religion. So
yeah, you're going.
You're
making points on different topics there, but to come back to the issue, what do you think of the public health argument that Maura and indeed Veronica are making? Indoor gatherings should not be allowed.
In the church. Should be allowed. It has been running very smoothly there with the last number of months.
Paul, how do they administer the Eucharist during Mass? What's your experience been?
It's brought to the people that stand at the verge of the seat, and the priest has the visor on, and everybody has their mask. You receive the Holy Communion in your hand, and then on your own time you remove it and put it in your mouth.
So you receive
it. You have received the body of Christ.
Yeah, I understand that. But you're handed the Eucharist.
Yes.
With your hand.
Yes.
Okay, would you have a problem?
If you have faith, you have no fear. Christ is with you, God is with you.
Indeed.
You couldn't be in a safer place, Joe. That's what Ireland is lacking at the moment.
Okay, I know where you're going. You're entitled to go that way. But in fairness, Paul, you're not arguing that to save yourself from COVID, we should all quarantine in Our Lady of the Assumption Church in Ballyfermot.
I'm talking about rural churches.
No, any church for that matter.
Yes, as long as there's social distancing and it has been laid out, the seats are there, you have alternate seats to sit on, there's 2 metres, maybe 3 metres, 4 metres, but there's three on the seat.
Your faith and your profession of faith does not save you from COVID.
I don't know.
Paul, I do know, and scientists do know, and we listen to the scientists. Your location or your faith or your beliefs don't save you from COVID. Stay there, Paul.
Sure.
I'll let you.
Faith is important.
I never denied it.
I'm very disappointed with this government.
You're entitled to make that point on this program. Any other program? Okay.
We have a plague at the moment, and I'd say it's all because of abortion.
Okay, Paul. Well, you've made your point. Paul, isn't it a great pity now that you decided to hijack the conversation and go down your own agenda? But anyway, that's your entitlement.
I'm delighted.
To do that. It's a live programme. Good man. I'm delighted as well. Paul, stay safe. Stay safe, Paul. Stay safe.
Veronica,
what do you think of Paul's argument that...
Can I come back in there, please? Yeah. Please, because I'm just outraged. My faith has always been very strong, and my mum, okay? I'm making the personal sacrifice for the last year because of how dangerous this virus is.
Yeah.
Do I believe, Joe, that your faith will save you from COVID?
No, I don't even want to hear that repeated, Veronica.
It's fake news.
It is a live program. He said he was coming on to talk about faith, and it happens all the time. People move off into other subjects. I can bring them off into other subjects.
Okay,
so we won't. But we won't get into a debate about fake news.
It's the middle of October.
Yeah.
Many people right now are waiting to get the flu vaccination, okay? And the reason we're in a different situation today than we were in March or April, right? In March or April, Joe, we were actually coming out of the flu season. That's just medical facts.
Okay,
We're now in the tick of the flu season. The flu season combined with the COVID virus is deadly. Absolutely
okay.
deadly.
Okay, I want to bring Helen in. I come back to you, Veronica. A lot of people want to come in on this. Helen, your point, please.
I do, yes. While I sympathise with that gentleman there and about his face, because obviously it means a lot to him.
And we never would ever, in a month of Sundays or beyond, actually question someone's faith. It's a great thing to have.
But
your point about mass.
My point really about mass is that while community spread, Joe, is this high, I really think that we need to not just save, you know, we need to save ourselves. I don't want to put the elderly into a cocoon again, but I really do think we need to help them to save themselves at the moment, because it's far too dangerous. The droplet spread can remain indoors for quite a while. So I just think that
it's the indoor element and the fact that people are, but like gyms have reopened.
Yes, but do the elderly go to gyms? You know, I just think they're quite vulnerable. And I do know that they like to congregate afterwards. And the concept of social distancing, Joe, is very, very difficult for some, you know. So I think while it appears to be quite draconian and a bit drastic, I think just for at least even for the next few weeks to see if we can get numbers down.
Okay, Helen Moore, Veronica, and indeed Paul, God bless. 51551 wash hands. I'm Father Joe McDonald to finish. Joe, good afternoon. About what your contact is about mass, I presume.
I know you're nearly out of time.
Yeah.
Really fast, two quick points, and just shut me up if you need to. Number one, I'm very concerned when I hear people attribute this virus to God or the punishment or anything. This is a horrible, disgusting virus. It does not come from God. Okay? So please, I would hope, particularly people of faith, to stop peddling that notion. Okay?
Right. Stuff,
God is love. God is beautiful. Jesus comes that we have life and so on. The virus is not from God and it's not sent by God. And number two, very fast, hope. The whole issue of hope. I have done an experiment, Joe, for the past couple of weeks, dropping a little hand grenade of hope into conversations, and to my amazement, hope is not as popular as you would think, and people are gloating in perpetuating doom and gloom and bad news. And if I could just say this, if we're serious about being followers of Jesus of Nazareth, we are called then to be people of hope. So to stop spreading and adding to fear and stuff like that.
And to believe that humanity in all its greatness can find a vaccine for this. Thanks indeed, Father Joe McDonald in Strafford.